preaching my message. Every song confirmed. I walked over to her. I said, thank you. I really needed confirmation today. My story, my message is from John chapter 11. Guess what it's about? Lazarus. So awesome. She's been in tune. I don't know about Aunt Brandon, but I know she has been in tune. That's all right. That's all right. God is good. He even loves Cliff. I love you, man. He loves Caleb. Aren't y'all glad he loves Caleb? He loves Brother Bob back there. Amen. The rooster says hello, and he takes it one day at a time, as we all do. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but right now he's doing good. He's doing good. I'll tell him you asked about it. How's that? Hallelujah. Chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Would you follow along with me here? Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold him whom thou lovest is sick. Now, for the sake of time, let's drop down to, or let's pick up at verse 38. How's that? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with his napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Woo! All right. The title of my message is, there is a miracle on the inside of you. I love the story of Lazarus. I couldn't believe it when Amber started talking. You got to know that the enemy works on me. So what do you think you're doing today? That's an old story. We don't need to show that today. Anyway, God is good. To read about Lazarus in his dire situation and then to read of his resurrection is so powerful, because it reminds us that it's not over till God says it's over. It reminds us that God can do anything. It reminds us that God is working even in our darkest hour that we don't see. It reminds us that man's impossibilities, listen, are really God's opportunities to work his best. It teaches us that God is not glorified by our sin, or our sickness, or our disease, but he is glorified by our deliverance, and our healing, and our salvation. And our story here this morning, in the book of John, chapter 11, word comes then to Jesus that his friend Lazarus is, that the one he loved dearly is now sick. But we find that Jesus waited two more days to respond. It could just as easily been 12 years, like the woman with the issue of blood. It could have easily been 38 years, like the man at the pool of Bethesda. The point is, it does not matter. It doesn't matter how long or how wrong. It is all the same to Jesus. It's the same power that heals a headache, that drives out a cancer out of your body. It's the same power then that heals a pull muscle, that drives out demon spirits. So after 2 days, Jesus finally says, "Now let's go wake up Lazarus." Jesus is even reluctant to speak of Lazarus as dead. He simply says, "He's asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up." Because you see, as far as God's power is concerned, there is no difference. Somebody here today needs to know your case is not too hard for Almighty God. It may be too hard for doctors, but listen, Dr. Jesus, who is the great physician, will take your case. He'll take your case. Jesus is our healer. Another thing that this story shows us is that it's never too late. I'm here to tell somebody, don't you give in to the lie that says it's only a matter of time. Don't you dare give up or give in. Don't you dare quit praying. Don't you dare stop confessing His promises over your life on a daily basis. Don't you dare quit praising the Almighty God. And don't you quit believing, whether it's about your health or your job or your relationships or your family. You're closer than you think. You're on the brink of a miracle. And guess what? There is a miracle on the inside of you that's waiting to come out. And this story also shows us sometimes God delays in answering our prayer. Why would that be? It's so that God alone can get the glory. Can you say amen? For many years, the church has been used this portion of Scripture to refer to what is called the Lazarus generation. You see, because Lazarus represents a hopeless cause, an irreversible situation, a condition beyond repair, that which has gone beyond the hope of no return, and that which from all natural evidence is dead and buried. That's what it meant. That's what it meant when they rolled the stone across that door. It meant it's over. It's past. It's decided. It is what it is, and it's never going to change. But I'm here again this morning to tell somebody, I feel something stirring on the inside of me, because you cannot refer to the story of Lazarus and end it at the tomb. Understand with me this morning, the whole message of Lazarus is one of redemption, and it's one of resurrection, and it's one of healing, and it's one of wholeness, and it's one of deliverance. And we sang about it this morning. At the voice of Jesus, Lazarus is raised from the dead, and the end becomes then a new beginning. Where death had reigned, and now life begins again. And that is the message to what has been called the Lazarus generation. Now, hear me closely. God is not finished with you. Doesn't matter. Age has nothing to do with it. You may be bound by sickness. You may be bound by disease. You may be bound by the words of a doctor's prognosis. You may be bound by the words of well-meaning family members that even tell you it'll never change. And yes, you may look dead, and you may act dead, and you may look like you're beyond hope. But at the sound of His voice, understand the dead are raised. This generation, though it looks like all is lost, I'm here to tell you, it is not unreachable. And they are not beyond hope. Are you hearing me this morning? But I want to tell you, the answer is not in religion. The answer is not in philosophies. The answer is not even in the traditions of men. It's not in our own ideas. It's not in our own programs. And it's certainly not in churchanity. And it's not in those semi-religious songs today that make no difference between your boyfriend or your girlfriend or Jesus. But just like Lazarus, they must hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5 and verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And watch this, they that hear shall live. The sad thing today is that there are not many places where Jesus' voice is being heard. We're hearing all kinds of crazy doctrines and feel-good teachings from all kinds of self-help gurus and life coaches wearing tennis shoes and skinny jeans with designer hose, sitting on a bar stool, drinking a hot French vanilla latte. And guess what? It's not even from Starbucks. It's from McDonald's. They are good, by the way. Yet we're not hearing very many pure, simple, undilated, or undiluted, or unadulterated messages of the gospel anymore. Amen. You're not hearing about the cross. You're not hearing about the blood and its redemptive power from sin. When Lazarus hears the voice of Jesus, what happened? He was resurrected. And when this Lazarus generation hears the voice of our Savior, which is the voice of truth, they will also be resurrected. And yes, we've said it before, they might rise from the dead with green hair or no hair, with tattoos all over their body, with piercings all over their body. And they might have the highest IQ, yet not even able to sign their name in cursive. And they might even rise from the dead, not sure of whether they are male or female, confused about their gender. But listen, the church has to be ready to loose them. We've got to be ready. We have to have enough of the love. We have to have enough of the power and the compassion of Christ in us to look beyond their past and equip them then for their destiny. And if the church then is not able to do that, meaning as far as making a difference in the world is concerned, then guess what? The church has become irrelevant. How sad is that? I'm not talking about endorsing all the weird stuff. And there's a lot of that out there. Can you say amen? I'm talking about loving the person enough to deal with the weird stuff in order to, again, loose them from their God, for their God-given destiny. And I'm so happy that Jesus loved me and accepted me just the way I was. Yet he loved me enough not to leave me the way I was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that we, if we were honest about it, we can see that Lazarus also represents the church at large today. Lazarus represents much of the church world that has fallen asleep. They are spiritually lifeless. They are dormant. And they are powerless. Understand with me that Lazarus was sick before he died. Much of the church has become sick. She has become sick. Listen now, by mixing with the world. You got to hear me today. The spirit of the world has infected the church like a virus. Something that should not be in the body has attached itself and made its way into the church. You've got to understand that sin is an infection to the body of Christ. Need I remind us all that sin kills and sin destroys and sin weakens the body and sin separates us from God and sin robs us of our strength and of our power to resist. Lazarus was sick, and today, sadly, a lot of the church is sick and anemic, and they do not even realize it. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6 say. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores they that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Jesus was told, speaking of Lazarus, he whom thou lovest is sick. And I want you to know right off here today that God loves the church, but many in the church, many of the church are sick with a spiritual infection. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, touched on it. He told him that in the last days, these would be perilous times. It would be hard times. It would be difficult times. It would be times that would be hard to deal with. Here's what he told him. He said men would be lovers of their own selves, talking about selfishness. They would be covetous. They would love money. That would be their motivating factor. They would be boasters. They would be braggers and proud and unthankful and unholy. In other words, outright profane in their actions. Hard-hearted, without any natural affection and love for one another. Truce breakers, false accusers, no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, that couldn't stand to see others blessed. High-minded, talking about conceited. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now you think that this would be referring just to a sinner out in the world, but it's what has infected much of the church. And if you want to know why the church at large, for the most part, is powerless, it's because she has been compromised. Her immune system has been compromised. It's been infected with the spirit of the world. And now the world's actions, their actions and their words mimic the world. Let's just look and see maybe what could be some symptoms out there to kind of look for. Follow along here a minute. Let's just see if these are some symptoms. It's okay, Pastor. We're strong. We can go there. It won't bother us. We only do it with friends and family. I do it only at home. Nobody knows. It won't hurt. It doesn't hurt anybody else. I would say symptoms. Wouldn't you? I would say good symptoms. All right, let's go a little deeper. You got your seatbelt? Okay, all right. Statistics that came out some years back. So the percentages are now probably even higher. They say this. Between the ages of 18 and 30 years of age, 7 out of 10 professing Christian men look at porn on a monthly basis. 4 out of 10 on a daily basis. 3 out of 10 admitted they're addicted to it. And that's just the men. The percentages then of women who viewed it are also staggering, with many admitting they accessed it at work. Billions of dollars then are spent annually on porn, streamed through the internet and TV. And much of it now we know is free, and you can access it on your own phone. And here's then the part that it even gets worse. It's really disturbing. It's how many Christians, even adults, are watching sex-charged shows or what we would call sitcoms, and they justify it. They're saying, oh, Pastor, it's just a comedy, and these are just actors. And families watch movies that glorify sexual domination, and they watch it together, and profanity and bondage and intimidation and perversion. And young and old have done it so long as that they have become desensitized. They override then the voice of conscience. And then so many out there in the church world, they come in on Sunday and they sing songs and they wonder why they're not experiencing the glory and the power of God. And it's because of a virus called sin that has been allowed to attach itself and mutate. I'm afraid that these are becoming like the people Jeremiah was writing about. I want you to listen to this. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, where it says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all. Neither could they blush. It didn't bother them anymore. No, they were not ashamed. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. When I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Help us, Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm simply telling you that much of the church is asleep. And many would even go as far as to say dead. But the good news is that Lazarus was raised from the dead. Even though he has been sick and died, that was not the end of the story. From the human perspective and natural perspective, when they rolled the stone in front of the cave, it was announcing to everyone, it's over, it's finished, it's done. There's no possibility of any change. Just forget it now. Don't pray anymore. There's no reason to fast anymore. No need to confess the promises on a daily basis anymore. Just let it go. Let me just stop and ask you, how many are glad this morning that somebody did not let it go when it came to you being saved? Amen. Three of you are pretty happy. Somebody held on to God for you. Somebody kept praying for you. Somebody kept confessing the promises of God for you. Somebody kept believing for you. Somebody I'm talking to right now, maybe even watching online, you are just like Lazarus. In your spirit, you are dead and maybe just stinking in your mess. But God, would you say, but God? Listen, but God has not written you off. Some of you were angry. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some were alcoholics. Some were drug addicts. Some were prostitutes and lesbians and homosexuals. Some of you even told people to leave you alone and let you go to hell. At least you knew you would have some friends there. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You did everything you could to roll the stone in front of the door. But God loves you too much to give up on you. God loved you when you hated yourself and everyone around you. And he came to your stinky cave. And he came right into your mess. Here then is the truth on this Sunday morning, August the 22nd, 2021. God is not afraid of your mess. Please know this, that mess does not stop God's love. And mess won't stop God's power. Pastor, I don't have any mess. It's all right, we're going to have an altar call for those that, I'm just going to say fibbing. That's kind of smooth, isn't it? Some of you are in a mess right now, but I want to tell you, Jesus is coming to you. Some of you feel like you've gone too far. You've done too much. You can never be saved. You can never be free. But that's why this story is in the Bible, to show you the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, to show you his love. To show you that the power of his love, listen, is greater than any stone that sin has rolled across your life. His love will come to you right where you are, in your mess, right into your house. He'll go right into that crack house. He'll go right into that bar. He'll go right into that house of prostitution. And guess what? He'll even come into the church house. It doesn't matter. Listen, the Holy Ghost will come for you. Would you just look at somebody and say, he's coming for you? How many know that's a good thing? I want him to come for me. Can you say amen? The church, like Lazarus, is loved by God. And also like Lazarus, much of the church then has become sick. And we all know and we see what a natural or a man-made virus can do. But I'm speaking of being spiritually sick this morning. I'm talking about being lukewarm. I'm talking about being indifferent. I'm talking about being materialistic. I'm talking about being carnal and worldly. Listen, our immune system has been so compromised by our own actions and our words that we have opened ourselves up to every evil thing that the enemy wants to bring at us. And he comes in then at will. Why? Because we've opened the door. We've compromised our immune system. And in this age, we might as well even add fear. We all deal with it. It all comes at us one time or the other. And so the easy thing to do is just to roll the stone over the cave and say it's over. The church is dead. She's lost her power. She's played the harlot and she's now dead. She has no anointing, no authority, no power. She doesn't even believe the word will work. Just like Samson, she has laid her head in the lap of Delilah. And like Samson, while he slumbered, he was shaven and shorn of his power. And he didn't even know at the moment what had happened. And they found him, and then they poked his eyes out. And again, that's not the end of the story. Samson's hair began to grow again. What does that speak of? It speaks of a new consecration. and of repentance. And the Bible says that Samson killed more Philistines in the hour of his death that he had killed throughout his lifetime. Jesus' words here, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, there is a call going forth now to the slumbering church that is yelling loudly, Lazarus, come forth. A slumbering church, listen, awake from your slumber. Wake up from the seducing spirits that have lulled you to sleep. Wake up from the sleep of worldliness and seeking its pleasures. Wake up to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Listen, there are a lot of people that have written the church off. They say the church is no longer relevant. Why? Because they are watching us. They say the church is dead. They say the church has no power. They're just like us. They go to the same places we go. They do the same things we do. They talk like us. They say the church then is an outdated religious organization. They say the church is just a bunch of dried up bones. But I came to tell somebody this morning that something's getting ready to happen. And you got to know it's happening already. All over the world, people are hearing the voice of the Son of God. All over the world, people are hearing the voice of Jesus, who we were reminded of last week is that truth. All over the world, people are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and people are waking up. All over the world, the dry bones are hearing the word of the Lord. The wind of God is blowing through that valley of dry bones. That is something to shout about this morning. Can I just go ahead and tell you, resurrection power is coming. The church then is returning to a book of Acts anointing and power. And in the middle of the worst persecution, the Bible says, they multiplied and they grew in boldness. Need I remind us this morning, Jesus is not coming back for a beat up, bruised up, broken down, dried up, lukewarm, half in and half out, can't tell the difference between the church and the world, bride. No. Here's what he's coming back for. Here's who he's coming back for. But he's coming back for a holy, a separated, a consecrated, fire baptized, Holy Ghost anointed, without spot or wrinkle, victorious, overcoming, and conquering bride. That's who he's coming back for. Well, Pastor, I'm just not sure I can be all of those things. Would you just look at your neighbor and tell him, yes, you can. Stop it. Yes, you can. Don't let the devil lie to you any longer. Just like the children of Israel went out of Egypt with a high hand. Listen, the church is going out with a high hand. Reith, would you come on down? Minister team, would you come on down? If you're hearing his voice today, and I know I am, if you're hearing his voice today to come forth in resurrection power, if you're hearing his voice that says come forth in divine health, if you're hearing his voice to come forth in holiness and righteousness, to come forth into a fresh anointing and authority, then would you just stand together with me and let's just gather down here at the end. Let's gather as one body down here. Let's all stand together. Come on down. And for the next few moments, we're about to sing that second song that we sang earlier today. We're going to sing it again and we're going to worship God. Come on, let's all gather. Come on, church family. Come on down to the front. everybody. Work your way down. Come on, young and old. It's okay, I promise. I won't jump on you, but I can't guarantee what the Holy Spirit will do. Listen, I want us to call out to the Lord like your lives depended on it. Call out for another visitation to your house, to your family. Just know the church is waking up. Would you look at somebody and tell them the church is waking up? The Lazarus church is waking up and it's coming out. We're coming out with a fresh fire. We're coming out with a new commitment to the Word, Brother Tony. We're coming out with a new zeal. We're coming out with a new passion. We're coming out clothed with a new mantle of power. We haven't seen anything yet of what God has begun already to do in our body, in this city, among the churches, across the nation, and across the world. Yes, the enemy is having a heyday, but his heyday, listen, it's going to soon come to an end. And guess what? Jesus will have the last word. And just know he's already in our tomorrows. He's already in your tomorrow working on your behalf. There's no need to fear what the devil throws at us. We have the greater one living inside of us. And guess what? He's greater than any virus. He's greater than any cancer. He's greater than any sickness that might try to attach itself to us. Just know that it has to go if it does. It has to go. It cannot stay in Jesus' name. And let me just remind you, you have a miracle on the inside waiting to come forth. Let's determine as we close this morning, determine today is the day for a turnaround on your behalf. Allow then the Holy Spirit, as we begin to worship again here in a moment, allow the Holy Spirit then to begin something new on the inside of you. I love you. Let's turn around. Let's worship together. Let's